You can have all the money in your hand, all the possessions anyone can ever have, but it's all worth the treasure. True worth is only measured not by what you got, but what you got in your heart. You can have, you can have everything, but what is it? What is it?
Never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7. The world's best radio station.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. DeShay is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, love, and reflections, and passion, desire, and contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. DeShay has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshaies. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshaies2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, I'm always pleased and happy to be here to have the opportunity to talk to you about the things that impact our world today and in the future.
Good evening, James, and thanks for the topic tonight and another good show. Your audio is stammering. It's in and out, but I did understand your question. And so I am going to elaborate on the topic. The picture is big. The characters and the players in this picture are bigger than what it seems. I have long last said that that China is a major player in all of this. It's important to understand that North Korea is nothing less than China's mad dog. And by them being subtle on the side, pretending that there's little they can do, they are the major benefactor in this major fallout that's about to happen. All in all, James, this whole scenario is a James Bond picture, movie, skit that one would think is almost impossible. And what I mean is, you got China on one side, you got Russia on the other side that want a piece of this pie. You also got Iran and Syria as minor players, but they have capabilities of terrorism. And they are willing to do anything they can to agitate in order to get a piece of this big pie. Now, the sad part about it all is that we have a commander in chief that has no diplomacy. Supposedly, all he got is backbone. Supposedly, but he's getting sucked into the game. And the other fact is that his cabinet, the administration, is not fully staffed. There are no people on the outside over in these other countries to monitor what's going on. There's no diplomats there that can keep things at bay until we can get ready. So it is a real testy situation that not much is really being said or even known, but it is imminent, and that's the sad part. It has been said by experts that this is probably the closest thing to the Cuban Missile Crisis that we've had to endure. And what made the Cuban Missile Crisis so serious that Castro had allowed the Russians to move their missiles closer so they could strike. And It is my understanding that the North Koreans have developed a weapon that could withstand re-entry into the astral atmosphere. You know, when it goes out into outer space and makes its crossing. The re-entry is the task where when it come in with the friction of the atmosphere, it won't disintegrate. But my understanding is that they have developed a weapon where they can withstand re-entry. And so that's the thing that they didn't want to happen. But I think we're there. Thank you, James.
And what and presently, what the situation is I see it, and certainly I'm not on top of it 24/7, but as I see it, the issue is right now that there are only three countries that have the capability of doing serious damage to our world, and that's Russia, China, and the United States. And you have Israel and some other countries that may fall underneath those. Okay, and so we're not looking to add to that three by letting North Korea be a part of that group. But the point we have to decide is, are we willing to lose the kind of people that were lost in World War II? Because we're talking about a serious conflict. This is not going to be a short-term conflict. It's going to come with a lot of decision-making that needs to be done, and it cannot be taken lightly. If a missile were to reach, if they only had one or two missiles to reach the continental United States, that could be devastating to our lives for decades. So this is not something we can take lightly, Cheryl, as we talk about the possible conflict and then not having a leader who is a true leader who can bring some thought process to the table. This is not the time for us to be entering anything that might be of this level with the way with this kind of administration are being in charge. So we have to be concerned about our children and our children's children as we enter this new age that we find ourselves in.
Good evening, and how is everyone doing? You are a little bit low, and I want to say that I heard everything that you did say. I know you said something about our children and the generations and what they're entering into. And I think, you know, from what Dee was talking about, I kind of think that I can gather together, you know, what you were saying. But, you know, all in all, we have a mess going on. And because of what we have in place in office right now, meaning, you know, our president, it's just strictly trickling down. And I find, you know, when I do go to different articles and I'm reading, you know, and just like you were saying, that we don't have a solid administration in place, and we don't. Because, I mean, he feels like he can just get rid of people. People are on pins and needles, you know, or either they don't want to be a part of it no more. And I don't think that we're going to get anything. I mean, in fact, we can find ourselves in really hot water based upon the things that's going on and the fact that our president is tweeting more. And I think, you know, we talked about it, than taking care of the business and the issues at hand. So I see and I find ourselves, we can be in a world of trouble because we're not up on the issues. We're not up on, I think, more of the wrong things are getting more of the focus instead of the right things. And that means you know, the saying that we're going to get caught with our pants down. And I think that that's what we are looking into. I mean, you know, I can see us getting being in that situation because we're not dealing with the things on hand. We're not doing the, you know, things are not being done to protect us. Find that, you know, we really in a mess. And until something change, we can on a daily basis look for more mess to happen. It's just total chaos.
And you we are not even dealing with life in a positive manner domestically. We got so much foolishness going on domestically that we cannot even begin to have the focus that we need to deal with any kind of World War III. And the fact is that we may need to reconsider what we're willing to offer North Korea for them to either stop doing what they're doing or have some type of understanding so that we don't go into a war unnecessarily. And so, Reverend Smith, we really need to determine whether or not we got the proper leadership to make the kind of decisions related to this kind of situation. When I was listening to Senator Graham and seeing that this was that this war was imminent, as though that we were ready and prepared for a World War III, we don't seem to have the leadership in place to even deal with that kind of situation.
Good evening to all of you. You're right. We don't have anyone that's in a leadership position. If these individuals that are the generals, Joint Chief of Staff, all of these people, would tell this number 45 what his problem is, and no, you can't do this, and no, you can't do that. If they would actually stand up to him, could understand that. I don't care about loyalty when it comes down to millions of people possibly dying. Loyalty goes out of the window. Your loyalty then becomes to those people who are going to die and their families and whomever else is going to be hurt by all of this. And it's going to be a lot if there's ever another war, especially with an idiot like we see over there in North Korea. It's going to be bad, and it's going to be millions, I believe, of people dying because that is going to give the rest of our enemies an opening. We'll be shooting our missiles toward North Korea, and idiotic people like Putin and some of the others will be shooting their missiles toward us. And a lot of people don't seem to talk about that, but it's a fact. Don't you know when you're into something of this nature and you got other enemies and they see an opening to get you, they're going to take advantage of it and say that it came from somewhere else. So we're in a, now you're talking about a quagmire. We're in one now. We're really in one. And as long as you got this number 45, up there in the White House, it's getting worse, and he's getting worse. I really think the man is actually losing his marbles because sometimes he talks and said things that are really stupid and out of character for any logical individual. So I don't know. It's just difficult. It's going to be a hard, but we got ways to stop North Korea without going to war. I wish we would talk about those ways instead of talking about war. We may think we're the biggest and baddest on the street, but we are not the biggest and baddest on the street anymore. We used to
be,
but
we're not. And you have to recognize, just like, if you know, history, they always talk about history repeating itself. You have to remember that Japan thought it was in a position to destroy America. And they struck first and then found out as a result that they were not in a position to do that and were defeated and now been underneath our thumb ever since. And so we have to ask ourselves, there are some devastating results that can happen by using nuclear weapons. And we've become a smaller world than the world we used to be in. So when we impact one area of the world, that impacts the whole world itself. So, D, you know, we may think, well, you're sending a missile somewhere else, but any missile that destroys part of the world economy is going to have a major result on everybody's existence.
Well, you know, James, I can only hope, knowing that history does repeat itself, I can only hope that that other rational-minded people in the world that are in positions are holding secret conferences. And I believe that so much that I want to ask, is this a secure line? Because, you know, listen, people around the world, powerful people around the world, even people that voted for Donald Trump, have to have come to some sense in knowing how close we are to annihilating one another. Now, my contention is that it's been real hush-hush right now about what they are looking to do to eliminate this inside threat. The way that he communicates with Theresa May and anybody else around the world, destroying the alliances that we spent decades building. I know that there are certain people, the Henry Kissinger type, that are holding conferences around the world on how to eliminate this thing. Now, listen, I say that jokingly. I believe that they're making plans to eliminate this inside threat. They just can't say it. They have to make it look like a common illness. And you can rest assured, Mike Pence and anybody else have to kind of follow suit so they won't be implicated in some way. There's no way they're going to let this happen. It's too much at stake, too quickly. And so, but quickly is of the essence, I'm sure. Because when you got somebody on the other side and you got a madman over there, hopefully they're having the same mindset that I'm speaking of. And hopefully there's some underlying shadow government efforts to communicate with their underlying shadow government efforts to try to eliminate both these threats. These guys that's tweeting one another in a juvenile way. That's going, in essence, destroy humanity as we know it, and that's a very scary thought. But that is the superior and God-sent intervention that we're looking for, and I think I have faith that something like that is bound to happen. Thank you. Reverend Smith, are you there?
I'm here. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Praise God. Uh-huh. We have to come to some conclusion within ourselves, like you were saying. Mm-hmm. You're right, to the world. They're putting up with a lot now, but they're not mm-hmm. about to let this man destroy a whole lot of people. Mm-hmm. And let a whole lot of us get destroyed. One of the biggest things that we ourselves have to realize is that we are very vulnerable too. We are very vulnerable to something happening. We've been blessed by God to not have a lot of things happen to America in America. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing we've had was 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Our time is coming. Our time is coming. You can't go around the world doing and seeing all these things going on and think that you are so big at, well, Rome in the Bible. Rome was the big boy. And sooner or later, it fell. It fell. And it's going, and that's my thing. It's going to happen here with us. It's going to happen here with us. And then God will rebuild this place to be what he wanted to be.
Reverend, the impact, again, when we think about the impact, the world has become so small because of how technology, you know, when Rome was destroyed, you had other empires that were so far removed from it, its impact necessarily didn't impact them in a major way. But in the world, the way we are conducting business now, where any downside in one area creates a downside in another, we cannot afford to have, you know, China doesn't want hundreds of thousands. It has a problem feeding the people that it has. So they don't want hundreds of thousands of refugees fleeing the north, coming to China. And so we can't. We have to recognize this is something that we may not be able to afford to do and have to diplomatically come to another way of getting out of this situation other than armed conflict.
I agree 100%. Armed conflict is the least that we should be thinking about right now. There's so many, Dee said it, that there's so many other avenues that we do have. We can go and talk to China and have China, because China is giving them so much and selling them so much, and just let China just say, okay, stop it or we cut it off. The one thing that bothers me, though, is this. We are not, God did not appoint us as regulators of his world. We have not been appointed as regulators of his world. And so here we are trying to tell everybody else in the world what they ought to be doing and what they ought not to be doing. And that itself is, I believe in my heart, that God is getting angry with it. And he's getting sick and tired of being sick and tired. Because we won't give him the opportunity to continue, or they're trying to take his position. And especially in America, America has become so godless until it's sad. It's really sad. Any and everything goes in this country. And so it's almost like it was in Genesis 6 when God said, I'm sorry I even bothered to make man. I'm sorry I bothered to make him. And I believe that sometimes. That's why this number 45 is in the position he's in now. Because God said, let me show you all who's in charge. So we've got a ways to go, and I don't believe it's going to be within the next 5 years. We're going to see some devastation here in the United States. Because we don't believe that anyone can stop us from doing anything we want to do, but we want to tell everybody else what to do. Thank you.
Cheryl, you know, I have not felt as vulnerable as an American in my life. I think everybody on this show, you know, we were born a little bit during the time when people were having where they ducked under the chairs, when they were having the bomb drills. I never experienced doing anything related to terrorism or bomb drill or fear of planes coming over and dropping bombs or anything of that nature. And so I just don't think we are equipped to deal with that, and we need to diplomatically decide what is the North Korea after and what kind of compromises can we make to avoid conflict. You know, when this crazy man talking about wiping them off the face of the earth, those are human beings. And, you know, you can't, we can't just think so nonchalant about killing people.
You know, you're so right, because today when I see the younger kids, they have to be prepared for all kind of things that, you know, we didn't have to prepare ourselves for. And it is, it's scary because, you know, and it's happening in the schools. I mean, we've seen this happening everywhere. And now you're talking about, you know, how are we going to be prepared? I mean, look at the direction that the president is taking us in. If we don't do something, or something is not done to get this man out of office, and I'm agree, you know, a lot with Pastor Smith. You know, God is really showing us in a lot of different ways, and we just not taking heed to it. I mean, you know, we've never had so many hurricanes. We never had so many disasters that's going on. And he's given us time and time again to get ourselves together. But it's that we don't hear that. We're using excuses as to what happened because, you know, it plays over in my mind about, you know, Hurricane Katrina. People want to blame it on the dam. But, I mean, nothing could not happen without God. I mean, he allows it. And, I mean, being from New Orleans, I know the things that go on there. And he's right. You know, the pastor's right. He's getting sick and tired of us. You know, and the things and the behavior. And now, just like you said, everything is really out of control. How do we get the control back and to be able to get things to, and I'm saying in our higher office, to the point where things are done on a level where we find that the our president and the people in office are even dealing with situations with a level head, and that we don't have. So, I mean, how can we expect everything underneath if the head is not together? So, like I said, I mean, you're right, and we can be, you know, cautious in a whole lot of ways because we don't know what's going to happen next. We don't know what this president is going to say from day to day and cause this country to be, you know, destroyed. I mean, you think that he's speaking for all of us and we don't agree with him?
That's right.
But, I mean, what do we do? What do we do? And that's the thing that we have to start putting in action.
And Regina, it's hard to understand, you know, we can't even take care of these storms and the devastation that they cause. How in the world are we gonna be able to get ourselves back on track if we get into a war where we have missiles coming and devastating whole states on our mainland? You know, how in the world can we contend with that kind of devastation or deal with multiple countries getting into the conflict at the same time and find ourselves in a 5 to 10 year war with this administration? Do we want this crazy man to get us involved in something that he is going to be dead and gone before we're able to finish?
Hi. You know, James, I don't know if that was a question. I don't know if it was a rhetorical question or a statement. But what I do know is that the God I serve has not brought me this far to leave me. All of this that's going on around me is going on around me. Sure, it will affect me, but things like this have happened before. We've come through World War I, World War II, the Korean conflict, and we're still here only by the grace of God. And I truly believe that if it is indeed time, if it is indeed time for him to come back and do whatever it is that he said he was going to do to this world because he's tired of the way we're behaving, then we just have to accept whatever it is that happens when he comes back. But if it's not our time, he's going to show us how to get through it. If it means eating chicken backs and chicken feet, we're going to make it. We are going to make it. But I will say, until that time, if any of our listeners didn't vote, shame on them. Shame on them. Because that's what we can do now.
Brother, let me ask you this. If we do have the ability to get this man out of office, say that we you know, if we're unable to impeach him, how do we get ourselves back to norm or what used to be normal? Because I have to be honest with you, and I want all of you to speak to this with me. Since 1970 or 1976 or so, you know, before that time, I really didn't know who our leadership was when I was born in 1960. And I'm being honest with you, all the presidents that we've had, including Ronald Reagan, which is what I thought was the worst, and who they accused of falling asleep during meetings and all of that kind of stuff, and who did some pretty bad things in terms of letting Oliver North and all the things that he did, I felt pretty confident, vis-a-vis Republicans or Democrats, that we did not have a lunatic in place. The issue now is we got a man in place who clearly shows that he does not have the mental capability of running a country and the diplomatic things that need to be done. When he's tweeting things that are untrue and racist, that we see this man's agenda is not about uniting the world and uniting our country. So how do we galvanize people to try to go back to what was normal for us, despite there being different parties in government?
Well, one
James,
of the things,
I'm sorry. Excuse me. I apologize. I'm sorry.
Who was it, James? Who was it, really?
Well,
James,
let me go back to you, Reverend Smith, after D, because D, you had something on
okay,
your mind.
Okay,
go ahead.
That's fine.
Okay. Look, you know, Pastor Smith hit a nail on the head when he said the madman in the White House is just part of the problem. The other part that really needs to be looked at is how he got there. That's the insane part. He didn't get there by just walking in. Then nobody opened up the door and said, come on in, anybody who want to come in. He didn't get there. That's not how he got there. The issue is how he got there. The element of surprise that showed up that helped put him there. That's one of the major issues. So for me, if he was in peace tomorrow, what statutes are going to be put in place, or what laws going to be put in place to help deter this type of mindset in the next election or the next campaign? My contention is the son of David Duke can come up and obtain a following and be the next president of the United States. So there are some changes need to be made on how to operate as a candidate going for such an office or for any office in leadership, because now the new standard has been set. Anybody, J.B. Stokes or whatever that man, his J.B. Stoner, his children can come up and run for office and be white supremacist, nationalist, anti-everybody else except them, and get into the office. So Donald Trump is just the new beginning of what could happen. It just so happened that things are escalating so fast with social media and being unpresidential, but we need to really change on how we do things and how we allow things to happen, and that's one of the major problems for me.
All right, Reverend Smith, you, what are your thoughts? How do we get this train back on track and headed in the right direction?
I go back to something Regina said, and it's all still right now. It's all in God's hand. It's His choice. It was His choice to allow this man to win. We have choice. Forget, and that's what Regina was trying to say, I believe. Because all of us that are, we are talking, there's so many that didn't even bother to vote. Didn't even bother to vote. And then D come along and put the icing on the cake. And he talked about that he did have help winning the election. I don't care what nobody says. There's no way that this man could have gotten elected. Now, remember, he was beaten by 3.5 million votes. So what are you telling those other 3.5 million people that their vote really don't count? Maybe I was one of those 3.5, and that makes me angry. So next time, will people decide to go out and vote? Because, hey, wait a minute. If 3.5 million don't mean anything, I don't seem to mean bothered. You know? So the thing that we've got to do, or the thing that the country has to do, is to look at our Constitution. And our Constitution says we the people. We the people. And we have lost that. We have allowed these rich folks to take total control of this country. Total control. They make and buy whomever they want to be in the seat. I don't think they meant for this to happen. I really believe this is all God's choice. I really do. So that we can see how far we have gotten away. But if the rich have been doing this, and you all should know that the Republicans and the Democrats basically are not going to put themselves, they all making a lot of money up there off of your tax dollar and a lot of the lobbying. I don't care what party it is. I don't care what party you go to. They're all in the same boat. But this man, this one man, is totally destroying the fabric of our lives in America. This one man. Stopping him is going to take the Republicans and the Democrats and the people. But because of the hatred that this man spews out, it's like the devil spewing out all the hatred and foolishness. And I wasn't surprised when all of this came to the forefront. There's an awful lot of people in this United States that's full of hatred. I mean, full of racism and hatred. So it's going to take all of us, not one or two. We can't put it on somebody else. We can't put it on anybody. We've got to be a part. We've got to stand up now and be counted. Thank you.
Cheryl, let me ask you, it's hard for me to say the word, but I'm just confused that we have so much confusion in our administration and our leadership, where you got one man being accused of child molestation, you got another man who, our president, who's been accused of sexually harassing women, but yet he won the presidency, and then you got other people losing their jobs and losing their careers over the same thing. So how in the world can we elect a man to the Senate who is possibly a child molester and a woman who is a man who a president who sexually harassed women, but yet we're firing people every way we turn who've done the same thing?
You know, you saying you confused. I've been confused as well because I took the time out to listen to, I think it was 13 different women that talked about specifically what Donald Trump did toward them. And then I had listened to the remarks that he made that degraded, you know, when you think about the things that are how people fire the same way. I mean, it doesn't add up. But you know, I'm gonna have to go with the pastor, and I'm not sure if that was Regina, but you know, God is allowing all of this to happen for us to see. To see what a mess, and that we have left our first love, and that's him. Because we are focusing on too many things, and just like you talk about the rich, they're focusing on money. You know, everybody is, their focus is not where it should be. So none of this could happen if it was not, if God didn't allow it to happen. And I believe that he's sending a clear message. So what it is that we should be thinking about, what message is he sending? And what should I be doing, you know, with the message that he's sending? Because he don't do anything for no reason at all. But I do believe that, you know, he really is getting sick and tired of us. He's given us too many chances. Chances and chances and chances again. And we are taking his mercy and his grace for granted. So, no, it doesn't add up. I mean, it's a puzzle. Because, we can clearly see. We know what's happening in the administration. We know what our president has done. And then every single day we're seeing somebody fired from their job because of the allegations of assault and sexual behavior that they're carrying on with. No, it doesn't add up.
Regina, how do we come to some kind of understanding that one segment of our society is being given a pass for this behavior, and then another segment is being given the death penalty? How can that be happening in the same time period?
Oh, well, it's happening because we're forgetting how important our local elections are. We're forgetting that these folk on our local scene rally together to put the folk who are there in on the state level, who rally together to put the people who are there in D.C. All of these folk make these laws. They set the precedents for what is happening, for what is going to happen. Therefore, you see what is happening. Private sector, these folk are being fired. Government sector, they're still running for office. They are still sitting in office. Private sector, they're more inclined to make their monies from the private citizens. Government sector, they make their money off of us, but they're seemingly untouchable because they have these folk down here who are rallying for them and protecting them. Other thing I'd like to say is that, well, never mind. But yes, that's what's happening, in my opinion. I didn't want James to say I'm starting to preach.
Reverend Smith, it seems that our moral values and standards are under attack.
They've been under attack for a long time. They've been under attack for a long time, James. We have allowed it, though. So, like I keep saying, is we the people, we have allowed this thing. And now, come to this point in time where we like, whoa, Lord, what have we done? And God said all the time, I've been trying to show you all the time, but you were so busy. We're busy doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And God is steady trying to, every time we see a disaster or something go on, that's God trying to get our attention. Every time we have a situation like we got right now with these idiots who are going around molesting children and who's doing all this predatorial stuff against women and stuff like that. And God is saying, okay, you all are still not looking. Because, a lot of these people are going along with this foolishness just like was just spoken, okay? Regina was right. These things must stop. We got to stop them. And there is a tier. We know that there is a tier. The city, the state, the county, all of these going on up to D.C., they're tiers, and all of them stick together. And that's where the problem, we sadly got this problem about Democrats and Republicans and on this at large and all this kind of stuff. Some people don't care. All they're trying to do is get elected. All they're trying to do is get elected. I was a city commissioner for 6 years. 6 years. And I quit the 3 months before my last term because I couldn't deal with it and be a pastor at the same time. We've got to come to the point in our lives that we're trying to be everything but what God really wants us to be. And we're doing everything than what God wants us to do. Okay? So now we got a predatorial individual sitting in the White House. We got one that's about to come to Washington, D.C., who is an actual pedophile. Okay? And we got all of these things going on. And here we are talking about, well, if the party, it would be better for this party or that. What the heck? Where have we gone to? And God is sitting back. God is sitting back looking at us, and the devil is sitting there laughing like the devil. He's laughing up a storm. I got it. Although he don't, because we know who's in charge. But, James, we have got to stop. We can analyze. We can discuss. We can do all of these things, and it's a good thing. I wish more people would come on this show so that we could get more people involved to hear. And if they hear, maybe they will understand because most people, I can look at MSNBC and Cheryl can look at MSNBC. Regina can look at MSNBC and Dee can look at it. Whomever else is out there listening. We will understand it, but you have to continuously watch for the little buzzwords with these reporters, too. You have to watch for the little buzzwords. They are buzzwords. Certain things they will not talk about and certain things that they will talk about.
Oh.
Okay? And so we are being hoodwinked. We, the public, we the people are being hoodwinked on all sides. And if we don't stand up, and pray and look to God and start feeling through him that we have the hour, because he is our only. I don't care what we can try to put together, James. He is, God is our only way out, the only way out. But we are so hard-headed, we're not going to listen.
Do you look like white America is just in a quagmire, and that they are just in a mess that they don't know or can't see a way out of this mess that they put us in, and it seems like they just don't have an answer or a clue to how to rid themselves of this quagmire that they've inserted us in.
Jay, let me say this when I'm through. The white establishment, is in a quagmire.
They is a quagmire.
The black establishment, just don't care. Now I'm through.
Jay. Okay, thank you. Thank you for
I'm
that,
sorry.
Pastor Smith. That's okay. Look, James, two reasons that is that white establishment stay in the quagmire because they can't see any further than money. Money drives them. Even the poor white person. Money drives the well-to-do white person. And what drives the poor white person is a distaste for you, the black man. That's a quagmire. That's why they can't never see no further than the hand in their face. So
their skin color is a little lighter.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
That's right. So now listen, if y'all remember, I have long said, and I'm not to my own horn, but I like to look at this thing. I have long said that this Donald Trump thing was a godsend in this way. And that is because God has been trying to get our attention for a long time. And, you know, it bothers me that people go to church and they hear all the teaching of the Bible, like Sodom and Gomorrah and things of that, and they don't get anything out of it. I don't know what it is that they're looking for if they can't compare Sodom and Gomorrah to the way our world is right now. It's the same
Hallelujah.
Thing.
Hallelujah.
It's the same as anything. So remember when I said that God is trying to get our attention to almost get us to the brink of war and to ask the question, if I get y'all out of this, if God decide that he don't want us to destroy ourselves, would we change anyway? But I think on your show, for the past 2 or 3 weeks, we have been taking steps to change our own community. We've been talking about certain issues. We've been talking about more standards and mental health. We're making small steps in the direction of change. So I think that's our business to do. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We know that God has this in control. We know that God allowed this to happen. We know that. What is that we should do on the other side coming out of this to make things better for ourselves? And that's the attention that we got to get young people or that other 10% of black people who don't seem to care about anything. We got to start to get them interested in knowing if God get us through this, hopefully we are smart enough to try to implement some kind of change in our life. Thank you.
Amen.
Cheryl, how do we get back to recognizing and participating in steps that are going to protect humanity? I mean, we have a person in office who has no understanding of what being a human is. When you talk about just willfully going around because you are a celebrity, violating the space of other people just because you're a celebrity, and feeling as though that nobody has any rules over your immorality. How do we get back to the place, because we voted him in, or white America voted him in, so they're responsible for the immorality that we find ourselves being a part of?
You know, you're saying, what are we going to do? But, you know, just like he was saying, and we bring to the table, you know, on a daily basis, things that we can do internally, meaning that we can start within our homes. We can branch out in our communities. We can branch out in our state and government. Because, and then if each person is doing that, then we would have a greater force when it comes to attacking, you know, a higher office. But just think, if we're not doing anything as the branches, then how are we going to get the, how are we going to attack? We really can't. You know, we go about our lives and we live reckless lives, but then when we see our officers and our president leading such reckless lives, then we get upset about it. But, you know, just like we talk about over and over, and we discuss about how we're going to control and the things that we need to do with our children and with those that are going to take office one day. So we got to start somewhere, and I mean, we can't start at the top and work our way down. We got to start down where we are and work our way up. And knowing that whatever it is that we're supposed to get out of this, the message, because there is a message in it. And I'm not sure who said it, but I keep it in mind all the time. Don't let those things distract us from doing the things that we know we need to be doing. And that those things is in the Word. What it is that he has in place for us to do, what he expects us to do. You know, and me as a teacher, when I'm finished my class and I see, you know, there's students that participate, and these adults participate, in the minute that they walk out the door, you know, the language that they're using and the behavior. So are we reaching, or is everybody, you know, who is all just listening but not really being doers and not being participants? So we got to start with us. You know, point the finger at us. Point the finger at yourself first. And that's where we got to start at. And I still believe we got to start within our families. You know, I don't think that we can go out and just say we're going to get together and don't come together as a unity and put some kind of action plan and attack, you know, as far as the president and what's going on. We got to do the voting. We got to do within our households. We got to do what we're supposed to do within our communities. We got to show our, you know, we got to show God that we really want different, that we don't want to be in chaos anymore, because we're not showing them that. We got to act like it on our daily, in our daily lives. So, I mean, that's one of the things that I can actually put in action. Voting, control, you know, having control over things that go on in my household within and contributing to my community and as large a level as I could.
All right.
Because, I mean, if you think about it, nobody can go to the president on their own.
We're going to take a short break and we'll come back and continue our conversation.
Jesus,
host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, so that your voice can be heard loud and clear without interruption. We want to be in place so that you have a platform to help us talk about the ways that we can change the direction of America and make it better. Guys, you know, as I sit back and I listen to everything that you've said and think about the way our world is right now, I was listening to Barack Obama, some of his old tapes, and I could just hear the intellect in his voice. And I could sit and talk, and I mean, not sit and talk, but sit and listen to him and the direction he wanted to take our country and how much sense it all made. And now when I try to make myself listen to the president, I'm made aware that this man is not at all prepared.
You know I love music, and every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move, it makes me want to have fun, but it's something about this joint right here, it makes me want to...
I'm sorry I got kicked off, but I'm just trying to say that it just seems like to me that if I am so easily able to understand his lack of mental ability to talk about the issues in any meaningful way, why is it, Reverend Smith, that we have other people find it difficult to recognize that this man does not have the mental aptitude to be taking us through this period of time?
James, these people do recognize that. They do recognize that. But D very well said it. Money. 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 They're not oblivious to what he's saying, what he's doing, but they're looking at what they are going to receive from this. There's a lot that the rich is going to receive from this tax cut. There's a lot of things that this man talk about. He's not even worried about this country. He's worried about when I get out of this seat, probably he'd know it, he's going to be out in 4 years, if not before then. That he's going to be set for life. Because once you've been a sitting president, you always are going to have security. So, and he's all made all these contacts, and I guarantee you that he's talked about the Trump name to every last one of these people that he's saw overseas in other places. And so this is his whole purpose. His whole purpose. He now is living in a bully pulpit, just like some of us preachers who get up in the pulpit and fuss and talk trash to our members. He's doing that because he knows that nobody's going to say a word. These people might go out behind his back and talk to him, but most of them not going to say a word because these people have been up there who is a total, it's almost like somebody has screwed them into Washington, D.C. and screwed them down into the floor of the White House and their offices. These people have been there way too long anyway. And so right now, they don't want to leave. Do you know how many pricks? That's why they're sticking with this man. It has nothing to do with the country. The country is just gone anyway. I don't mean that in a literal sense. I don't mean it in a playful sense. I'm just saying that it's just, until we stand up. We the people. We the people. And I knew this was going to happen when all those women marched at the beginning of his presidency. I knew it was going to happen when all those men marched in the Million Man March. Everybody starts something, but they don't finish it. The only person that ever finished anything he did was Martin Luther King. He didn't stop. Everybody else is pocketing and going around, and that's what this man knows. He know that. So what do we do? What do you do? You just sit back, you pray, and you ask God for guidance. And as long as we stay prayed up and stayed up and telling and doing his will, we gonna be all right. Like Regina said, we gonna be fine. I don't care what nobody say. It's not really bothering me, but it's bothering, only thing that's bothering me is my children and my grandchildren and my great-great-grandchildren. That's what's bothering me. But as far as me, I'm not even worried about him because I'll be here when he's gone. So how do we do it, James? Pray. And I know what you don't say.
Well, you know, one of the problems is that when I look at this situation, and, you know, Pastor Smith, we talk about our eyes being open. And I have to be honest with you. You know, our eyes are closed in different areas. Our eyes can be open in one area and be closed in another. And I thought after we elected Barack Obama to term, that white in America and black America, or people of color, had a similar idea of what was good for the country. And now I realize that white America still believes that what's good for America is bad for people of color. And that's why they want to make America great again and talk about going backwards and going back to a time where they felt more comfortable and see that it was where they felt more in control. And now when they got the control and it's acting up and it's going haywire, they realize that they have relinquished sanity to foolishness. So, see, now they see themselves in trouble.
Right. They are not. The white people are. Is D there?
The white, I am here. People,
yeah. Okay, go ahead, D.
Okay. Let me try to piggyback on where you was going, Pastor Smith, if I can use discernment, and I think I do. I think I am blessed enough to have that. look, the white people, you know, let's first go where you were, Jane, with Barack Obama. You know, Barack Obama was the Abraham Lincoln of his time. In fact, Barack Obama spoke a lot of and admired Abraham Lincoln as being a changer, a person of change. And in the position of president, when Barack was blessed enough to have that position, he tried to implement that change. Now, we all know that white people cannot stand change. Let's only be fair and say that. They can't stand change. Because in order for them to change, then they will have to better themselves, and they will have to adapt. And that's the difference between black people and white people. Black people adapt to any circumstances in any level of circumstance. White people don't have that capability. I don't know if it's a culture thing or whatever it is. But so that's their problem. But for me, going forward, and Pastor Smith hinted at this, going forward, we have to actually implement faith. Now, one of the problems that I got about churches today, because they're supposed to be the spearhead for our people. They're supposed to be the spearhead. And the thing that I think they have missed the boat on is on how to communicate the Bible to us, the normal people, in a way that we can kind of make sense of all of this that's going around us at this time and present time. Now, my point I'm trying to make is, going forward for me, faith is the ultimate answer for me. But I got to tell you, you got to ask the question. You got to ask the question, what is faith? A lot of people don't know what faith is. All they ever know is, all they ever heard is, you got to have faith. You got to have faith to get through this. But the $100,000 question is, for most people, is what is faith? How do you operate faith? And for me, faith is an action word. You got to act it like it's happening. You got to act it again like it's happening on a day-by-day basis until you get exactly what you're looking for. And so we're going to get through this like Ms. Regina and Pastor Smith said. We're going to get through it. But, again, it's our children and the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren who got to be taught how to get through this also. We cannot assume no more that they will get it. We got to show them, like Ms. Cheryl said, we got to show them how to get it. We got to show them how to be entrepreneurs and do something for yourself instead of waiting on somebody to give you something. So that's the change in times where we are. And I hope I made it some sense in that, James, and thank you for your time.
You know, Cheryl, I just want to ask you,
hello.
Do you think white America will ever ask for forgiveness for putting us in this situation? Do you think they will ever come to grips with it was their bad decisions that put this man in place and had this world, you know, we're not going through this by ourselves. The world is going with us with this bad choice that we made.
Well, I mean, they're not going to, you think that they're going to say they're sorry? And I mean, you know, every day we don't, I let me speak for myself. I don't, people who wronged me in any kind of way, I don't wait for them to ask for forgiveness. I forgive them anyway and do what it is that I need to do. In the same way, we can't hold our breath and wait on, you know, for them to ask for forgiveness, because that's not going to happen. And I mean, that would be foolish of us to do that. But, you know, just like everyone said here, is that we have to do what it is that we need to do as individuals. And that means, you know, also coming together on different levels as well. And, you know, just like Dee just said, you know, we got to have faith. You know, call those things as though they were. But, and again, I'm going to go back to saying that we can't be distracted by the foolishness and the chaos of this president. We got to be about our own business as well. And if we can do that, we can see change will happen. But we got to keep focused and not let the distractions disturb us.
Well, Reverend Smith, one of the things I hope that don't, you know, I heard you say that may very well come true is the that those 300 million become disenfranchised, and not participate. Because what we really need to do is really come out and vote, not only in 4 years, but we need to vote and vote some people out of office coming up, this upcoming election, because these, you know, we have to send a message. We have to send a clear message that we do not want to follow this man any longer. And we're going to put things in place that stop him from being successful, because we got to save our country in time enough to vote him out of office.
I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you. I don't want to see anybody stop voting. We all need to still go to the polls. But being realistic, when a lot of people, black and white, Latino, Asians, and others, feel like they themselves are being disfranchised, because, hey, wait a minute, was I in one of those 3.5 million? And that leaves a big gap out there in their mind. They should have, and whoever's out there in the Democratic Party, should come back and try to close that gap and let people know, yes, you voted, and we didn't win, but your vote still matters. You have heard nobody tell them people that yet. You have heard nobody come back and say, yeah, we had $3.5 million more than him, but believe it or not, that will probably be the deciding factor next time in 2018. Okay, so that's what they need to do. That's what needs to be spoken out there. And we as individuals, and Dee said it, our churches, I'm going to say this because a pastor, as long as I did, we let so many people down. We let so many people down. And I was somewhat of an outcast because I spoke up. I don't care. I will speak up. If it's for God, it's for him I live and him I die. And nobody's going to stop me from telling the truth. Okay? And when we get up in church and we try to put on shows for these people, instead of telling them and teaching them the word of God and what about their lives out here, we don't only live in that church. The people live outside of that church. We got to let them know, the voters, we've got to let them know that, hey, you got to do your part. I'm a pastor, but I can only do so much, but you got to help me do the rest. You got to help me do the rest. And I'll be more than glad to help you if you got any problems. But believe me, I'm letting you know, I don't know everything. So you might have to find somebody else to help you on certain things. But we can do that together. Okay? These people still feel nobody, the white man, that D said it himself. We are resilient people. We've had to be resilient in order to survive. The white man survived off of everybody else's blood and sweat. Okay? So,
well, let me just say.
Go ahead.
But let me just say that, you know, everything is a point of learning and an opportunity. And this has definitely been a point of learning. And if we don't learn from this, then we won't learn from anything. So
amen.
We're gonna go to our final break, and then we come back. We're going to give everybody an opportunity to say their final word this evening.
Father, help your children and don't let them fall by the side of the road. That heaven might find a place in their heart.
Conversation. I just believe that we all need to do better and be about our Father's business.
Amen. Regina, your final thought for this evening?
A challenge. Contact your local NAACP and ask the not the president, not your city, but the state NAACP, what is their platform? What is their platform as it pertains to your local community? Do not allow them to say that they get their platform topics from national, because national, just like the presidency, is too far above you. You need folk right there in your community to organize the churches and bring the locals together to prepare for this 2018 election that's coming up. And pray. Ask God to open up those windows and pour out those blessings so that we can receive the knowledge we need to help our local, which will go to the state, which will help the national. Those are my final words.
All right. D, your final thought for this evening?
Yes, sir. Great show tonight, James, and thank you for the topic. I was thinking about what my final word would be, and I think what I want to say is that me personally, you know, we are not racist. We don't hate white people, even though we bring them up in conversation sometimes in a negative sense. That's not the point. But the point I want to make to that is that, you know, as believers, we have to suffer also.
Mm-hmm.
There's strength in the suffering, and so we have to endure. That doesn't mean that we're not paying attention, but we have to endure. And so coming out on the other end of things, we just need to have faith, work our faith with intent of a positive outcome, and God is always on the throne and is in control. Thank you, Jane, for your show.
Amen. Trevor Smith, your final thought for this evening.
Well, I have to follow everybody else. I don't have to, but I love what they say. And it is all true. When I look at Psalms 121, and I say, I look to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who created. You understand that? Who created heaven and earth. All right, so that's my thought, basically, that God told me not to worry. He said, I can't change anything anyway. So what are you worried about? God said, I know the number. Every hair on your head is numbered, even the one that's fallen out already. Okay? So I'm not worried. I just can't get, I can't get all worked up about this foolishness. I watch mm-hmm. it every day quite extensive. But
well, everybody, I continue to thank you for your support. Let you know that I appreciate you being here and discussing this with me and recognizing that we have to be on top of things. You know, when we talk about being about God's business, part of our role as believers is having some impact on our surroundings. And so we have to be prepared and ready and stay busy impacting our surroundings in order to make it the best that it can be for the people that we love and care about. I love my daughter. I love my grandchildren when I have some grandchildren. But I love people, and I want the best for the people. I have lived a good life, and I hope to continue to live a good life. But I want a good life for those who I leave behind as well. So we have to do what we have to be about our business of not allowing this world to be misdirected by people who are not true believers. I can't tell you what Donald Trump believes or doesn't believe. All I know is that he doesn't sound like the word as I know it. And so that's what I have to say about that. And so I want to appreciate you all for calling in, and I look forward to us discussing this ongoingly. And just thank you.
James, can I say one thing before you go? James.
Oh, go ahead, Reverend Sir.
I'd like to ask everyone on the line to pray for my daughter. I've been going over to the hospital. I drive 80 miles one way each day to go over there and sit with her. She's having problems, and she's in the hospital, and I've got to get up in the morning and do it again. And I don't mind because that's my child. But I'm asking your prayers, because it says the fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Please pray for her.
What's your name, Pastor?
Right. Her name is
What's your name? Okay,
Latricia.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Smith.
Thank all of you. God, thank you, sir.
Okay, Cheryl, could you please lead us in prayer as a family to end the show?
Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you right now, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for allowing us to meet here again and discuss the topics that we can become better people, dear Lord. Lord, we ask that you continue to lead us and guide us in everything that we do, Lord. Lord, we ask that our intentions are great. You know the hearts of each and every one of us. Lord, we ask that you be with the Pastor Smith as he traveled back and forth on the highways visiting his daughter, Lord. Lord, we ask that you keep him. We ask that you regulate everything in her body, Lord. Touch her body. Heal her body and heal her mind from the top of her head to the sole of her feet. Lord, we are holding on to your word when you say, by your stripes we are healed, dear Lord. And then we thank you. We thank you, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Cheryl. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you guys for being with me and guiding me. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And Pastor, my thoughts and prayers will be with you and your daughter during this.
Thank you so much. And God bless all of you. Thank you.
Take care, everybody. See you tomorrow.
Good night. Yes.
Thank you.